Thanks, guys. Just before we begin sharing, I'm going to read some scripture. But before I do that, we're kind of going to do a poll among ourselves. And I'm going to ask you certain things that perhaps has gone on in your life or family this year. And when I do, I want you to stand and remain standing. It's for the purpose of sharing a testimony by standing, I guess. Let everybody know what the Lord has done. If you have lost a loved one this past year, would you please stand? And some of these may relate twice, and I know that. If you have dealt with cancer this past year, one way or another, stand. And if you're already standing, if you'll raise your hand, that's a good thing. All right. Thank you. If you have experienced a debilitating illness or physical problem from heart to gut to brain, who knows what, would you stand? I got my hand up, so that's my testimony. All right? All right. If you have, what was my other one? My wife doesn't even know.
It can always be heart problems.
What?
It can always be heart problems.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Any of those. If you have, I can't see it. If you have carried the burden for someone else in their struggles this past year, you stand. All right? That's a bunch of us, almost all of us. Let me pray, and then I want to read Scripture. Father, thank you for these who have, by their standing, testified that there have been struggles this past year. Father, some of them will testify of how good you were to get them through those struggles and bring about a result that is simply praise to you. So, Father, because of that, because of what we've gone through, and because of what we have faced in our own life and in the lives of others, we thank you that you're always enough in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you want to read along with this, I'm going to be reading Psalm 145. Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise, and it kind of lets us know why we're doing what we're doing right here today. So Psalm 145. David says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Sort of what I'm hoping. I've got a younger generation right here needing to hear what some of you have gone through to encourage them. So that's sort of my side benefit. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and shall shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give you thanks, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They will speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of your majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy to the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all of his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. You weren't with us last year, the year before. Here's what we do. Doc has a microphone over there. I've got one in my pocket. And he's going to cover that side. I'm going to cover this side. When there is no one speaking and you're ready to speak, raise your hand or stand up. We'll bring a microphone to you, and you have to speak into the microphone so everybody can hear what's going on. Simple, easy instructions, all right? But I do want you to stand when you speak so people can kind of see where you are and kind of give them a visual of what's going on, all right? Okay, we're going to do this, and I want to see who's going to be first on my side. Anybody? Ah, look at this, a young lady on the front row. Got it? Thank you, ma'am.
I give honor to God this morning, to my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, to the pastor and his wife. I do want to worship and to magnify the marvelous wonder of my Savior. I thank God for all of his righteousness. Mm. And I thank him for his loving kindness that he has shown me through this year. I thank him and I honor and I praise him for the way that he is strengthening my body day by day and how he is giving me the power to endure whatever is painful or nagging or whatever. He strengthens me to be able to endure that I have to go through. And I marvel at his wonderful power that's working within my body. Hmm. I thank him because just this past week, I began to feel the strength in my right leg to stand straight, and I literally felt the bottom of my feet for the first time in 10 years. And so I know that God is continuing the work of restoration in my body. And I marvel at everything he has done for me and for what he is going to do. And I worship and I praise him for that.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Hand up. There's one.
Good morning.
Morning.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank everyone in this church for being a missionary for this church. We just had our missions meeting. We have a wonderful group, many of who are here today. How many of you all know that we give 10% of everything that comes into this offering to missions? Every one of you is doing the Lord's work. We can't get over it as our little team. The faithfulness that you all are having, we're giving $70,000 a year away for the Lord's evangelism around this world. You're being with the widows. You're healing those that are ill. You're helping the poor. This mission at this church is a little bit different than ones I've been acquainted with in the past. Everyone on this card is represented by somebody in this church. They know this mission inside out. You can be assured that your money is doing the Lord's work faithfully. A couple of things that make us stand out. A lot of these you've heard from Steve in his Missions Minute, which thankfully we have a great spokesman. The bedrock thing is we don't give to your money to anybody that is not evangelistic in what they do. In other words, the gospel has got to be the bedrock of each of these missions, number one. Number two is that it's got to be truly making a difference. We don't give a little money to a whole lot of missions. We give only to the ones that are on this card right now. Occasionally we go outside of that for special missions that somebody brings here. I could stand here and talk all day and thank you for being missionaries for the Lord, but I did want to bring it up, and I want to praise the Lord for this church. I want to praise the Lord for Kerry Smith. I want to thank him for bringing his health back. There's many others here. We praise the Lord for Doc. Brings us his wonderful music, this band. Overall, when the Lord looks at us, he's going to say that the people in the North Shore Church did my work all the way from Willis to Tanzania and in between. And I praise the Lord. Thank you all for that.
Thank you, sir. Coming to you.
Thank you, Pastor. I guess all the ladies that I do Bible study with would have expected that I was going to stand because I am always talking. I want to give thanks and praises to the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for this church group. I want to thank the Lord for Pastor Kerry, Doc, and all my Bible study group. I stand here giving praise this morning because I am settled. I migrated here 3 years ago after traveling here for 25 years. And I always ask the Lord, why did you take me here? I don't like it here. I bought land, I built, I planned, I did everything. And when I landed here, I totally hated it. It was just a difference from Jamaica coming here. And I was so torn. And I remember going from church to church to church, just trying to be settled. And I was running late one morning, and I just turned to my husband and said, let's stop at the church at the gate. And the moment I stopped here, I'll never forget the day, and I still try to remember that lady who greeted me, and she hugged me, and she said, I don't know of your struggles, and I don't know what you're going through, but bloom where you're planted. And when she said that, it changed my entire view on everything. She said, bloom where you're planted. Enjoy what it is that you have. And the support of the ladies. Stacy, when I stood in her class and I cried and I said, I don't like it here. All the ladies prayed. And I'm at a point where I would never go back to where I'm coming from. Because I know not like it here, I love it here. And I thank you all, and I thank God for letting me realize that all the years I've kept asking him, what do you want me to do? I traveled the world. I did everything. I worked. I did everything. And no, I have never seen the beauty in my family as I'm seeing it now. Because I don't have a maid raising my children. I don't have a helper doing stuff for my entire family that I now know how to do. And I just praise the Lord because I am more bonded with my family. I have found a church home, and I am just totally blessed. And I thank you all, and I give praises to God.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody on that side? We're getting a little heavy on this side. There you go, Doc. Pick them up, put them down. Pick them up, put them down. Pick them up, put them down. Trying to hurry him along.
The best thing that Terry and I can say to you today is to God be the glory. Great things he has done. It would take me a long time to share with you the miracles that we have seen this year. Pastor, you asked a minute ago if we had any loved ones that we lost. And I did. And in the last 40 days, I've lost three dear friends, the kind of friends that you talk to at least once a week and many times two and three times. Monday I go to the funeral of another dear friend who passed away. But today I don't stand here with sadness. I stand here rejoicing because every one of them knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of them they asked me to do his funeral. And approximately 15 people prayed to receive Christ as Savior. To God be the glory, great things he has done. In our personal lives, it's been a tough year. A very tough year financially. And God has supplied over and over and over again. I wished I could share with you each detail. But let me share one that you'll understand. We bought an automobile when our finances were in better shape that we could afford. When things went south financially, we called the bank and asked them if we could take one payment and put it on the end of the loan. And over a course of 2 or 3 weeks, a gentleman called us and he said, "I'm going to tell you something that I have never seen a bank, and this is a major bank, I have never seen a bank do. But they told me to tell you that they want to take $3,000 off your principal. They want to drop your interest rate about in half so that your payment will be 50% of what it's been." We were astounded. We were astounded. But once again, God stepped in. And this is only one of many stories I could share with you today. And Terry and I both say, with all of our hearts, to God be the glory. Great things he has done.
Hi. I just wanted to share about Pastor Carey's absence from the church, how sad we were that he was missing, but God provided such an amazing man to step in for our pastor, and they were really encouraging. And so I just want to read a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from him."
Good. Thank you, ma'am. Hands? Here's one. Oh, I've got the mic. Sorry. Pass that over.
Yes, I want to just start by saying I just thank God for his love and mercy and forgiveness. And I want to say that thank him for all the blessings that he's given us, me and my family, this church, the pastor, all you people. I just want to thank y'all for welcoming us into the church. And that's about all, but I sure do appreciate the church and I appreciate everybody. Thank you.
I'm basically an optimist, and I don't take great pleasure in reviewing miseries and difficulties in life. But this past year, I've been struggling with a cancer that had me in and out of hospitals for about 6 different occasions, little brief periods of recovery and then lapses again that have really been trying. And once it's repeated 2 or 3 times, you begin to lose your courage. So, you know, maybe this thing is going to get the best of me. Maybe not. Certainly had my wife worried. She sweated over me as I was a sick puppy and nursed me as best she could to help. Turns out I'm cancer-free, and for that I'm very pleased. But the point of this talk is that during this recovery period that seemed to cycle round and round, Pastor Carey made it back to church one day, weak enough to deliver a message from a chair. But he came anyway, and he sat on a stool and delivered his message. And I told him a week or so ago that that message lasted me until he was able to stand up strong and deliver the next one. God blessed me with that message all that period of time, and I wanted to thank the pastor for that.
Good.
Hi, Peter and Pat Ekdahl. We're visiting from the Woodlands United Methodist Church. I happen to have the Sunday off because I sing in the choir there. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be here with you folks and enjoy and share the testimonials. Anyway, I've got a... I'm thankful for the... Well, I'm humbled by the power of prayer. I was diagnosed with... a cancer illness in the... I had to take the kidney... One of the kidneys and the bladder was infected with stuff also. Anyway, Deacon Leon provided me a book that Dodie Osteen wrote about, which she wrote because she was diagnosed with terminal cancer back in the 1970s. And it was, I prayed that prayer in earnest. And God had his hand on me, and he worked through M.D. Anderson and John Papadopoulos, the physician, and just the Friday prior to the Monday that they were going to take the organs, you know, because they were diseased, he looked in there and saw that the bladder was clean and green, and I was very thankful for that, so I retained that one anyway. But anyway, and the other... Kidney went to the biohazard dumpster.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the healing power of prayer, I'm very humbled about it. And Doc Papadopoulos was indeed the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you so much.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. There we go. All right. I'm going so fast. Where am I at? Oh, I can't even stop in the right place.
And when I stand, y'all can't see me either. But over the last few years, I've had some setbacks, all kinds of setbacks. But God brought me this man to make me happy. He's the most loving and caring man I've ever known. And I knew that there was a plan for me, and I found it in him. I'm very thankful.
All right.
I can't this microphone.
Yeah.
You can't either. Anyway, most of you, I guess, know my wife or know me and know what we've been suffering for the past year and a half, that she is the one with the cancer, not me. Whereas most of my life, I've been paying the Lord to work forward. I never really thought I would need it within my own family.
Yeah.
And again, this morning it was rather bad, and we were both praying to the Lord two or three times this morning, and all of a sudden her oxygen level started coming up, which is a good thing, because it was dropping down to almost nothing. It got good enough that she said that I should be at church rather than at the house. That's a tough decision to make at this time. But anyway, paying these things forward, I'm so glad that we came to this congregation and that so many of you, this is difficult, were there to reach out to help. And it means so much. I don't know what more I can say to that. Thank you.
Well, Doc, save me a trip, Doc.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm actually glad that 2019
2019 is coming to an end. It's been a difficult year. In late 2012, I experienced a heart attack, which the doctor told my wife, said, after 3.5 hours in surgery, he said, your husband has about a 50-50 chance of surviving. When I survived, I asked my wife, I said, I wonder why God let me live. Well, in the last year and a half, I discovered why he did. My wife was diagnosed with a deadly brain tumor. She fought a valiant fight for about 17 months. And I lost her on March the 17th this year. We were high school sweethearts. We were together for 50 years and were married for 48. It's the toughest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I finally had the courage to start coming to the grieving class up here at North Shore, and it really helped me through a very difficult time. But a dear friend also has been a tremendous help to me. Her love and support has just been phenomenal. But I went through a lot of stages. Initially, anger. I just couldn't believe it was happening to the love of my life. But I'm slowly but surely working through that, but I've certainly enjoyed coming up here to the church and being around other Christians. So again, I'm glad that 2019 is coming to an end. I'm ready to move ahead. Thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Coming.
My husband asked me to speak on our behalf because he says he'll start crying.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just want to thank the Lord because this year in March, my husband and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, and that was a real blessing for him. He says it was love at first sight, and after 50 years, I guess it was love at first sight.
Nah.
So I want to thank the Lord. He's been a wonderful husband to me, and we have served the Lord together, and which brings me to the second part. You know how Gary was talking about the mission, the missions, how they serve, and I'm one of the ministries that uses that fund. I minister at the prison or the facility here in Conroe, taking the Word of God, and they provide the funds for the Bibles, and it is a blessing and an honor to be able to place, to take the Word of God, and to be able to place a Bible in those ladies' hands that they will take to places that I will never be able to go. It is a blessing to me to be able to do that, and I want to thank the church. I want to thank them for the assistance of the Bibles, and I also want to thank them for their prayers. Yeah, that, you know, that I know that y'all are praying for me every Wednesday when we go. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, receive Christ for the very first time, and it's been a blessing. And this last year did something that I never thought we would be able to do. We ministered to people from China. And at first, you know, I started, because it's in Spanish. Everything's in Spanish. It's immigration. And I would minister in Spanish. And then we started getting people from Africa and from other people that spoke English. So I started doing the lesson in English and in Spanish. And then we got a lot of people from China. And they have a library there on site, and they found Bibles, Chinese Bibles. So when I was doing the lesson one time, I had the people in English read the lesson, read the scripture in English, and then in Spanish, and then they said, "What about us?" And so I said, "Okay." I said, "You all read it." And so they all read it at the same time in Chinese. What a blessing. Hmm. I thought I was going to pass out. Because, you know, God is so good, and he makes a way where there is no way. Never in my life did I think that I was going to be able to minister to Chinese people. But, you know, we're doing it in English, and we're doing it in Chinese. They're doing it in Chinese, and we're doing it in Spanish. And thank you so much. I thank the Lord because he put that ministry, he called me to that ministry. It was nothing that I had ever thought. It's not like one day I woke up and I think I'll go to the prison to minister. No, never crossed my mind. But God has a way. And when you surrender to him and you tell him whatever you want me to do, he'll give you whatever he wants you to do. So thank you so much.
Good work. Thank you, man. You going to try it? All right.
I'm not going to cry, but I do want to praise God. Okay. Back in October, I underwent cataract surgery, and for a lot of people, I know I'm not the only one that goes through that, but when it's in your body or it's you that they're cutting on or doing whatever, it's a big thing. And so I thank God that he saw me through that, so I don't have to wear my glasses anymore to see far, but I do wear reading glasses.
There you go. Thanks, sir. You know, that's why they've got the terms minor surgery and major surgery. It's minor if it's on somebody. It's major if it's on you. Doesn't matter what it is. It's major. Yes, ma'am. I'll reach across here. There you go.
Two quick things I wanted to be thankful to God for today. You know, I try to be thankful every day. And I thank God for green lights. Because I figure if I'm going to ask for help when I really need something big, I want to be thankful for the little stuff. So I do. When I get a green light or a great parking space, Andy and I joke about it because we go, "Thank you, God," like it's there just for us.
Yeah.
But the two quick things, I had some pretty ugly surgery to get through in August, and thank the good Lord, am doing well. And I've had a bunch of surgery in my life. Most of it orthopedic, and in the past, I would gauge my time for recovery by how many weeks of physical therapy I was going to have. Well, this time, I gauged my recovery in how many weeks of church I was going to miss, because I couldn't wait to get back here. This is the most supportive group of loving people you will ever find anywhere, and all these wonderful people in here that are nodding, y'all know. We've been through a lot of tough stuff together. And the other thing I'm thankful for, December the 12th, my 90-and-a-half-year-old mother survived some surgery to remove a tumor from her thyroid gland. And although she's a retired nurse, I love her dearly, but she's not a great patient. But we got through it together, and she is out and doing okay. And I am so thankful, as well as the angel sitting beside me. God knows he gave him a heck of a sense of humor, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. had to go all the way back to the mother country to find somebody like that. Go ahead.
Brothers and sisters, it is my honor and privilege to be with you in worship today. Wow. Pastor Kerry, thank you for this opportunity. All praise, glory, and honor to the Lord Jesus and to our Father in heaven, from whom all blessings flow. My story is nothing short of miraculous. I, too, am a cancer survivor. 2016, I was diagnosed with cancer. No chemo, no radiation, no surgery. Here I am today, cancer-free. Praise God. I started in computer business 20 years ago, 1999, went through a triple certification, obtained a Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer certification in January of 2000 and was given a very prestigious job working for Roy Christian. I thought that was ironic. His name was Christian. That was my first IT job in Austin, Texas, for TRW, as a systems engineer. I've had a very rich, blessed career in the computer industry. The jobs became tougher and tougher to get. After 9/11, a lot of the companies got rid of 15 guys that all did these special things, the web guy, the programmer, the hardware guy, the desktop support guy, the help desk, and they just hired one guy that knew how to do everything. And so the resumes had to get more and more robust. You had to learn how to do all these different things that you weren't good at. And it became more and more difficult. So I went from a systems engineer all the way back down to like a desktop support guy. But for prestigious companies, oil and gas, TransCanada, I worked at Exxon for a little while, and that's really where my story is going to lead to. I only had a 3-month contract at Exxon, and they moved me from 2 different locations, which were very far away from my home. But after my career at Exxon, they didn't want me back. I felt like I did a good job, but I had some friction. I think it was a racial tension, unfortunately, because I'm certainly not prejudiced. I know that God loves all people and shows no favoritism. I don't know why I'm going into all this. I did that until 2015. And in 2015, it became almost impossible to find an IT job. I started my own business here in Bentwater in 2011. And I was doing my own thing. That was good for a while, but you kind of work yourself out of business. The more problems you solve, and when you do a good job, they don't need you back. So, and that was an hourly job and not a continuous day-to-day thing. So it's hard to continue to do that. 2015, I went into transportation and became a truck driver. Be nice to those guys. That's a very difficult job, living on a truck. They work long hours, not 40, 50, but more like 70, 80, sometimes 90 hours a week, illegally, some of them, because that's what their jobs require. And it's a dirty job. You go home, you're covered in dust every day. If you get to go home that day, it's a rough life. So I did that for the past 4 years, but I maintained my computer business on the side, continuing to help people in Bentwater. And I never advertised. People just word of mouth, you know, they call me. So I was blessed to continue to have side business for that as well. But my last computer jobs, one was at the Air Force Base in Laughlin, in Del Rio, training Air Force Base, and that was a blessing. It was a migration and also an upgrade. They were going to Windows 7 at that time. And unfortunately, the boss that I worked for was a devout atheist. He hated the idea that there was a God, and because of that, I lost my job. One day he was coming down on me about so-and-so, and I was explaining to him also the guy that they assigned me as my coworker to show me the ropes, told me how to do everything opposite the way I was supposed to do them. I think he saw my certifications and experience and was intimidated, afraid he was going to lose his own job. And so I made many mistakes because that's what he told me to do. And I explained that to my boss, that I had, you know, always been honest and told the truth and done what I was told. And he said, well, that's why you're still here. And I told him, you know, that my last day when I go before the Lord, the day of judgment, and he started, just blew up and started cussing, and I just couldn't believe it. But that day they terminated me because I was a Christian, basically. And I was living in Del Rio, so I had to relocate back to this part of the world. And then my job after that was at a company in Woodlands, a technical consulting company, and they hired me to do a night shift for Crane International, which is a company that's global. They have companies all over the world, and my job was a night job. I was to be on the phone talking to people who didn't even speak English, trying to solve their computer problems, and I did that for a while. But unfortunately, they bit off more than they can chew. Crane needed more than than we could provide, network support, etc. And then they tried to make it like it was my fault to let me go so they wouldn't have to pay unemployment benefits. One night they called me like 2 hours before my shift, and because I didn't answer the phone, of course I was asleep, as most people would be at 4 in the morning, and that was my 4 in the morning. They terminated me and said that I didn't care about my job. And of course I had to fight for my unemployment benefits, and when I did, then naturally I would not have a good send-off from that company at my next company. And so then it became impossible to get an IT job anymore. I couldn't get hired at a company because I was fired as a Christian and because I was sabotaged for unemployment benefits. And so for the past 4 years, I've been doing that difficult trucking thing. And after the last job, my dad said, well, why don't you try to get back into IT? And I told him, you know, I don't think it's going to work. I mean, I put out 40, 50 resumes, and I couldn't find an IT job after that one. But I figured, you know, hey, why not? I mean, my dad's recommending it. I'm going to honor my father. I'm going to try. And sure enough, the first two jobs that I applied to, I got calls from both of them. And the first interview I got was for Exxon. And it was also in it was at the main campus in Spring, this huge, this beautiful campus. It's probably the best place. I mean, Exxon is the second most profitable company in the world. More than that, it was the first interview that I'd gotten. I didn't have to try real hard to get back into IT. More than that, they didn't even give me a technical interview, which is unheard of, to get an IT job where you don't have a technical interview. Like, first you have a get-to-know-you interview, and then you have a, okay, what do you know interview? How many of these questions can you answer correctly? I didn't have that interview either. And turns out they were hiring about 30 of us. And we were all required to go through this brutal training, a lot of training, over 6 weeks of training, day after day, 8 hours of learn this, learn that. They have their own way of doing things. They're in a lot of special technologies that they use and support. And so I went through all that, and turns out there's these proficiency tests at the end of all this. You have to pass 3 tests. One of them is a safety test. You have to get 100 on the safety and 80 on the other two. And the first time that all 30 of us took these tests, only 3 of us, me being one of those 3, passed all 3. Praise God. That was a tremendous blessing. And more than that, it was benefits right away. It was everything that you would want in a good job. I mean, of course, I'm not making the pay I was making when I was a system administrator. I'm still, you know, humbly serving the Lord and humbly trying to elevate my position in the IT industry back to where I was. But what a tremendous blessing that God has allowed me to come back into this occupation and to pass those exams that first time. They gave them all the second time, and probably when we get back from the holidays, they're going to let some guys go that didn't pass the first time and the second time. So praise be the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord God for all that he has done in my life. And I know that he's working in you guys as well. So give him thanks and praise.
All right. Thanks. Oh, one here. No, right there. Right here. Halfway.
I'd like to thank God for all of us for our new facility next door. He provided money when we never asked for anybody to tithe or to make any special donations of any type. So in a period of 2 years, he raised over $2 million toward our new facility and paying off the old one. That, I think, is one of the biggest things that has happened to this church from the beginning and especially in the last year. So I would like to praise him wholeheartedly, lift him up for everything that he has done for our church. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, sir.
I'm Joy, and I'm always a little hesitant. I am a little bit different than you. He dragged me through the mud through Skid Row, and that was 35 years ago. And I left the bottle and have not drank since that night. And it was God bringing me there. He threw me a life preserver in the mud and drugged me to a better place. And Mike and I are so thankful that we have a church home, which we were looking for. Mike is undergoing chemotherapy, radiation for prostate cancer. We're not married, but we've been married, and so we just continue on together. But I am a little different in that I'm often intimidated by people that seem to have their lives so well put together. And I got raised at 30, so, you know, I really didn't know the laws of the world, how to do cars and how to put stickers on cars and what to do. So I am just absolutely overwhelmed. I had a brain aneurysm that was caused by a husband who hit me in the head with a 2x4. And I lived. And I wasn't supposed to. So all I can say is that I'm one that dragged from the bottom, and I'm sitting in a most grateful spot.
Wow.
And thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. That's encouraging. We got time for a couple of more. Way back in the back, young man raising his hand.
Thank you. I think we need to pray for the pastor's eyesight, young man. One thing that I wanted to share was, you know, I've been listening to all these testimonials, and they've all been a blessing to me. I'm one of the people that has lived just kind of a normal year. Nothing really remarkable to talk about, except for one thing, and that is that I am closer to Jesus today than I was January 1st of this year, and I'm so grateful for that because it's his doing. And I want you to know that all of us, whether we think we have a remarkable testimony or not, Jesus is working in your life. Jesus is doing things in your life. Jesus is molding you into his image that you may become more and more like him. And so remember that. Understand that every breath you take, every beat of your heart, comes from the Lord. And I am just so grateful that even though, you know, I'm not the squeaky wheel getting the grease, God is really at work in my life, and I can testify that he's at work in your life if you just allow him to.
Good deal. All right. Hang on.
When I was growing up, my dad used to end a prayer often with, "We lack nothing but more humble and thankful hearts before you." Forgive me, I have a tickle. But I was always mindful of that growing up as a child, even more so as an adult, having experienced more ups and downs. And this has been a year of ups and downs for this church, for a lot of people in this church. Great periods of thankfulness, the new building, all of the excitement and joy that came with that, but also humility. Things change in a moment. Our pastor is a perfect example, and we're thankful that you're back with us and in good health, but a lot of us have experienced those highs and lows, both emotionally and physically. And I want to say, too, that things can change in a minute, and the Lord knows that, and he prepares us for that. My experience with my dear husband having serious health issues unexpectedly. I was told that had we not gotten him to the hospital when we did, I'd either be a widow or a caregiver. And 5 days later, he was back at work in a limited capacity. Excuse me. So I would like to thank the Lord for that and just encourage everyone that it may look bleak. We may not understand what's going on in our lives and those the lives of our loved ones, but the Lord knows, and it's not over until he says it's over.
Good word. Good word. Last one.
I didn't think I'd be standing up here, but I have to thank you and God for saving my great-grandson. He was 9 minutes without breathing. They had him in an ICU for a week. They said he would be severely brain damaged if he did live. He is not brain damaged. He is absolutely perfect at 6 months old. He's sitting up, rolling over, and doing everything a 6 months old should be. And I thank you all for praying for him that day.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Just because he asked so nicely.
I apologize for being the second last one.
Yeah.
But I want to just thank this church also. I just keep thinking of things that have been said. But our pastor, it was very unusual year having a pastor as sick as Carrie was and being out. But I want to thank the church for hanging in there.
Absolutely.
For learning from, I've learned a lot from this experience. This is one of those times that you learn to wait on God and trust him that those things will work out one way or the other. And it worked out good for us, and it worked out great for Carrie. And we continue to pray for you, Carrie, and your leadership, and for you to continue to get better and gain strength. But I just really thank the church for hanging in there. And for us, hopefully we're better, a better church because of Carrie's illness and because God gets the glory for that.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, sir. Thanks, sir. Well, that does kind of bring me to the wind-up of everything. There are several things that have gone on this year that the folks were not here to be able to share those. The things that touch me, kind of like what Carol said about her nephew.
Grandson,
sorry. We've had several families who have struggled within their family, like their daughters or their granddaughters, to have children. And we prayed for that, and God has blessed them with children. I think that's one of the special prayer abilities God has given this church. Just about 2 weeks ago, one of our families had put in the prayer list that their daughter, I believe, was going to be in IVF. That's much better than me trying to say what those words were. IVF. And the doctor came and told her later, "I'm sorry, it didn't work." Then a short time later, and I don't know how they did this, they did another blood test or something. He said, "I don't understand this, but you're pregnant." And we had put in a lot of prayer time on that situation. And I think God just kind of showed the doctor he wasn't in charge on that one. No offense. Okay. But he wasn't in charge, but God was in charge. And right now, she told me last Sunday, said, "Keep praying. She's still pregnant." And I don't know if it's the real deal or something just to get them excited to know that it is possible. But God's doing a miracle in families like that. For me, David said it, I really am grateful for having gone through the 3 months that I went through. Not the joy of enduring all of that. I didn't like it while I was going through it. But God gave some answers that we would never have gotten had we not gone through that. And I think you have pretty much testified to that. Some of the things that you've said today, you wouldn't be where you are right now had God not carried you through that. So even the bad, God has the ability to use for good. When Satan wants to do us in, God wants to bless. And doesn't matter what it is, always look to see how God's going to pull us through that. All right, let me pray, and then, band, y'all come on up. Doc, you can sing us out. Father, we thank you for a tremendous time of sharing. Lord, I have been blessed in so many ways, hearing of struggles, but more than that, of the praises where the folks have realized without you they couldn't have gone through what they went through. Lord, to you be glory for everything that's been shared today. Every life story, from losing jobs to getting a great job, from going through cancer and being cancer-free, from having heart issues and now being strong again. Lord, there's so many things that were mentioned today that are evidence that when we place our life into your hands,
great and mighty things happen because you're such a faithful God. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church, in our lives individually, what you're doing in my personal life, in the life of my family. Lord, thank you. You are good, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Doc?
So we stand?